Welcome to this Market Commentator podcast. And as usual, we talk market. And my guest today is Joseph Boucher. He's, of course, the Managing Director of JM Boucher Investments. Joseph, welcome to the show. We are currently in one of the most definitive political chapters in South Africa's political history. And we may even see, you know, action taken against our finance minister. The Rand has reacted negatively, as one would expect. But the JSE did not. It actually has gained around 2.2% over the past 7 trading days. Why is this?
There used to be a tug that goes South Africa alive with possibilities. So anything is possible in South Africa. And certainly, I think the emergence again of the issues on the Minister of Finance is surprising. It's surprising in the sense that I think if there's strong leadership, they needed really to make sure that that is managed and certainly it goes away and is put to rest forever. But certainly it's not. And hence you saw the reaction yesterday when he received a letter that he must come and basically present himself to the national prosecuting authorities or Hawks. So the rand weakened from about 13.45 back above 14, which basically is negative for financial instruments, in particular your bonds and financial shares. You saw that the banking sector got hit yesterday, most of them on average losing about 4%, and our yields have gone about 60 basis points since the end of July. So certainly I think the volatility is not very good for the market, but also it does not give confidence in terms of the economy as a whole. The Reserve Bank Governor, Ms. Kanyao, said basically, you know, the growth rate is going to be zero. This year expected zero. IMF was expecting 0.1%, and inflation has remained above the target band, despite the fact that yesterday's numbers for July came in at 6, but that's still very elevated, given the fact that the rand is so volatile, petrol prices might go up again, and hence that will push inflation to remain above the target band. Equities have remained very strong. As you know, when you know, if people are moving out of fixed income, they have to find the money home, and the home will be equities, and hence our equities have remained very resilient. The reason is that really your U.S. have remained quite high, near the highs in terms of the equities, and certainly there was this prolonged change in terms of their interest rate policy. They've been on a hold for a very long time, and I think there is an expectations that rates might go up in the U.S. And you saw the dollar being strong, but apart from it, obviously we had our domestic Mr. Gordon issues yesterday.
But we've seen political volatility in South Africa. We see it regularly, and you know, in most instances, the rand depreciates quite sharply, but then claws itself back. Do you think in this case it could happen again?
Yes, it certainly is going to. It's going to happen, I think, until we get the next government, which is in 2019. Remember, the ANC is going to have their National Elective Congress next year to elect the next president to succeed President Zuma. So that is going to happen. But also, I think after the August 3 municipal elections, people thought democracy had spoken. There were a lot of changes within the municipalities, and obviously, if there was no, even though there was no outright winner between the DA and the ANC in Tshwane, Ekurhuleni, in Johannesburg, they were very tight. They had to rely on minorities, smaller parties, to be able to push basically their mayoral candidates to be elected. I think that's going to continue for a while in terms of the lack of leadership and certainty. And we had this morning the MD of the Banking Association, Ms. Cass, saying basically they're going to approach the government. And it's almost to say, leave your hands off of the Minister of Finance. And my view then is, if business is getting involved in politics, then we're setting up ourselves for a very dangerous precedent.
Why?
Well, in the sense that business mustn't mingle with political issues. There is a legal case. This is a legal case, and our view is that the Minister of Finance, obviously, in my view and my analysis, based on his statements, is almost saying, "Well, do not touch me. I've got a job to do, and my job is to look after the economy," implying that the other guys are not. So there needs to be leadership from both sides. The prosecuting authority and him to say, well, these are the charges, and him to say, well, listen, let me avail myself, let me answer all your questions so that we put this matter to rest for the benefit of the country. But I think we do not want one to appear to be the savior of the country than the other, but what we need to do is to get the truth and basically to bury the whole case.
But one of the criticisms against the private sector has been the lack of public criticism of the president and the management of the economy in recent times. We seem to see more of these CEOs actually speaking out now. And I think, if you see that in the context of the massive distrust between the government and the private sector, that must be positive.
Well, certainly, but there has to be basically to say what is the role of business and what is the role of government. The role of business is certainly obviously creation of jobs, production, and so on. So they need to be able to engage business on issues of productivity and policy matters. So if government policy does affect business negatively, if government policy does not promote economic growth, certainly business must be able to voice its disapproval through the right channels. But what we're saying that, or what I'm saying, if it becomes then personal on an individual basis, I'm thinking possibly, that becomes a bad precedence. Because one of the key issues you don't want in any economy is collusion between business and government.
What would happen if Mr. Pravin Gordhan is removed from his position?
I think it will just worsen. I think if he is removed, you're going to see what happened to Minister Nene, or the Nene Gate now, as it is called, that the rand will plummet further. I remember it touched 18 to the dollar. So currently, I think everything was looking very good because inflation was coming down, rates were going to remain low for longer. Obviously, given that America had kept its rates, and also we're just waiting to see what happens in November when Americans go to the polls to elect the next president. So if Mr. Gordhan is just removed summarily, certainly I think the reaction is going to be worse, given the fact that the market has already taken a decision or sides to say, if you touch him, this is how we're going to react.
What should investors do in this environment?
I think you have to be very cautious, but I think it's more of a long-term position. I think, economically, I think if we start basically moving towards the NDP and making sure that construction sector also starts picking up these infrastructure investments, possibly you start seeing the economy coming out a little bit. We had seen early this year a little bit of recovery from a commodities perspective in terms of gold, platinum prices and so on, and those shares also responding to the strengthening commodity prices. But certainly I think we are not 100% out of the woods, so that's why I'm saying it requires then leadership both from government and the private sector to be able to say this is how we can steer the country forward. Whether everything becomes clear after the next elective Congress of the National Congress, African Congress, we basically have to wait and see that. But certainly, I think we need to be able to say, how do we make sure that jobs are preserved and we create more jobs? How does the economy grow? Because if anything happens, given obviously the indebtedness of households or the debt households are carrying, and rates go up and inflation does not come below 6%, it's going to be painful.
But as you say, investors need to be cautious. What do they actually need to do? Move from equities to cash or other asset classes?
Cash is still giving quite good returns in SA compared to, obviously, the rest of the world, in particular your developed world, because, I mean, we're sitting possibly on a massive 5% risk premium if you were to compare yourself to the US, which is almost near zero. So most of our yields in terms of the long-term bonds, you're still looking between 9% and 10%. So that's quite attractive for foreign investors who want to pick up yields and basically just get a little bit of sovereign risk. But certainly, I think given the fact that the economy is not pumping, equities have remained quite strong. Given last year, obviously, it was lackluster performance. I think equities got about 5% return, and all the different asset classes underperformed cash last year. So certainly, bonds were ahead. I think equities were up about 16% for year to date, and fixed income not far behind as well at about 15% year to date.
Let's talk about bonds. I don't think you can fault any investor who likes to park money there and just to see what is going to happen. But the biggest trend in the bond market currently is the massive inflow from developed markets into our bonds, obviously chasing yield. What has the impact been of that inflow?
Well, the impact basically is both positive and negative. Positive in the sense that, you know, as the foreigners choose, you know, to get a little bit of some sovereign risk or pick up some credit spreads, as you know, the ECB cut their rates, and if they cut their rates to near zero, so if you invested overseas, you're basically getting nothing for your money. Whereas here, you're going to be able to pick up 8 to 10% coupons on your fixed income. So the positive is that, you know, it's good for us, but the negative, you know, is what we call hot money. It's for a short period. But also, they basically tend to focus on key government holdings, which is your 10-year bonds and so on. And what happens, you know, when the government pays coupons or interest on these holdings, then they have to sell the rand. And hence, you see that there's always pressure when the payment debts, you know, your big coupon payment debts are okay, which is usually in August and December, that the rand tends to weaken. This has happened also when most of your bigger stocks on the JSE move their head offices overseas, your Anglos, your Old Mutuals, your SAB. So they would be paying, obviously, in foreign currency dividends. And hence, if they're the biggest shareholder, you find that there will be pressure on the rand because you have to sell the domestic currency to get your obligations out.
So at the end of this month, we will see an outflow as the coupons are paid on bonds like the R186.
R186 pays basically in June and December, but currently you have got your R214, R213 that are also quite strong in terms of their overweight in the bond index.
How much money are we talking about here?
I can't really quantify now off my head, but I think if you say what is the constituency on the bond index, your government constitutes almost about 95% of the OB, and you can see basically the effect of that.
Let's talk equities. You know, we spoke in November last year before Nenegate. You said the market was very volatile then. I think it's you know, a lot more volatile now. You also said it was a stock picker's market. You need to go and find the hot stocks. Where do you see value currently on the JSE?
Very difficult. I think the construction sector has failed to pick up purely because the resource sector also has been very volatile. The industrials were the darling over the last few years. I mean, led by Naspers and a couple of you know, your Steinhoff, which has been basically just going into the international markets. A little bit of the health stocks as well. So that basically has been the mainstay of the market. Early this year, for the past 6 months, it has been the resources, and the last 2 months has been the banking sector, which might be just reversing given now this, I don't know whether we can call it a Golden Gate event, but certainly it has been a stock picker market. You know, those guys who've managed to pick up stocks quite well, like Naspers, I think have already returned quite good returns for investors this year. But that your insurers haven't really moved. Old Mutual is down about 19% year to date. So I think, yeah, it remains a stock, a stock picker market.
The banking sector is an interesting one. We've seen yesterday the banks reacting negatively on the latest political developments. They will be hit if we do see a ratings downgrade, but they're cheap.
Well, there are two issues that happened yesterday. The Kenyan government also have announced a cap on interest rates that can be charged. That affects Standard Bank, which obviously they've got operations in Kenya, or any of the South African banks that operate in Kenya. That's number one. Number two, if rates were to go up, the probability of bad debts increasing becomes higher, which means they need to put more money for provisions, to make sure that, they cater for the non-performing loans, and so on. So,
do you expect rates to go up?
I think if the rand remains now or, progresses towards 15 to the dollar, and if oil price increase to 55 to 60 dollars per barrel, and America increases rates before November, certainly I think rates will go up. But I think for now, the view was that, the Reserve Bank is going to keep rates on hold. But, the market has been so dynamic. So many changes have been happening.
There are a lot of ifs in that qualification.
That's true.
Okay, but back to banks. Are you buying? Are you using money to buy banks at the moment?
A couple of them were looking cheap. We were buying Nedbank. I think if you look in terms of the PE ratio,
Nedbank,
yeah, both Nedbank and Absa over the last 2 months, your PE ratio was basically about 7-8%. So they were the cheapest of the banks. Their dividend yield is quite attractive, 6% for Barclays, about 5%, or close to 6% for Nedbank. Bank as well. So they've done very well, but they've had a massive rally over the last 2 months. So this could be a correction, for the banks, but it's more of a reaction to obviously what happened yesterday with the currents.
Are you buying anywhere else, or are you buying other specific stocks?
I think if you want to buy long-term, Steinhoff possibly will start producing good returns. It has been stuck for a while. We also believe that Sasol has been punished badly because everybody looks at the oil price, although that's not the only source of their income. So our view is that possibly if Sasol share price comes below 360, it's a good buy as well.
Thank you, Joseph. That was Joseph Boucher. He's the Managing Director of JM Boucher Investments.